Okay, so we just begin with a prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fires of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and all things shall be created afresh, and you will renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, God our Father, you instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the gift of the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so last time we spoke about the church in general and how the church is a vast section of Catholic theology, which we call, anyone remember what we called it? Ecclesiology, okay, the study of the church. I remember saying to you last time that this is something specific about Catholicism. Catholicism has a huge amount of theology on what the church is. As opposed to the other denominations, trying to understand what we mean by this word church, and there's a huge amount to it. And you remember, I hope anyway, remember that last time we talked about the images. The church loves to use images because with an image you can penetrate more and more deeply into something. The more you look at the image, the more you think about it, the more you see where it's leading you to. And I said to you that each image will tell us something about the church, but no image is good enough to tell us everything about the church. It'll show us certain aspects of the church. And I said that in the scriptures there are several images of the church, used by St. Paul, used by our Lord. And I just remind you of those, the image of the vine. Remember we talked about this. This was our Lord's image. Our Lord always spoke very simply about the most complicated, profound things. And when he was talking about the church, he spoke very simply that the church is like a vine. And he didn't say that. He said the church is the vine. He says, I am the stem, you are... No, he didn't. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And by saying I am the vine, he says, I am everything. If the church is the vine and Christ is the vine, then the church is Christ in a very, very real sense. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, but the branches are part of the vine. They're part of the vine. They're not separate from the vine. They're not a different plant or shrub or tree. They are the vine. But they're the branches of the vine. And our Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So by this word church, we're talking about Christ, the mystery of Christ, in the world, and how we have become part of it. St. Paul talks about branches being grafted on. He's talking there specifically about the way in which the non-Jews became part of the people of God, as branches being grafted onto the vine. But you can also see it in terms of us being grafted onto Christ. And when you graft a branch onto a tree, the branch lives with the life of that tree. The sap that was keeping the tree alive now keeps the branch alive. And so the image of the vine is a profound image. And because it is an image, you can reflect on it time and time and time again. And all the time get more and more out of it. It's in St. John's Gospel, chapter 16, I think. And the purpose of, if we are the branches, we are living in Christ. He says, if you cut the branch off, it dies. If you cut the branch off from me, you will die. If you cut yourself off from me, you will die. And that's the frightening thing about today, when so many people are cutting themselves off from Christ. You know, cutting themselves off from the church, going their own way, not worshipping God, not receiving the sacraments, literally cutting themselves off. And our Lord says that such branches will die, and they do. Cut a branch off a tree and it dies. It withers, first of all. Life remains in for a little bit, and then it withers completely and it dies, and it is, our Lord says, good for nothing but to be burnt. And that's the tragedy that we see today, you know, in our very society here. How the secularism which grips our country has caused people to cut themselves off from the vine. They've cut themselves off from the church. And, you know, this is our great challenge as a church today, to bring those people back, to get them grafted back on to the vine to which they belong. And the purpose of the branches is to bear fruit. And the fruit comes because the life flows through the branches and produces the fruit. And of course, it's the life of Christ that pounds through our own lives that causes us to bear the kind of fruit that Christ is talking about. The grace of God. Without me, you can do nothing, he says. And so that's the image that our Lord gives us of the church. So it's by the word church, we're not talking about a building. Though because the church meets in that building, we call that building a church. But the real meaning of church is this: it's Christ in the world, invisible but really here, and ourselves united to him as branches are united to the vine, and in him bearing fruit. So it's about communion with Christ. It's about oneness with Christ, about union with Christ. And of course, if one branch is part of the vine, then it belongs to the other branch, which is also part of the vine. The branches belong together, they're part of the same vine. And so it's all about unity. Unity among ourselves and unity with God. Because if we're grafted into the vine, which is Christ, then we are in complete communion with him. And of course, that is realised supremely through the Eucharist. When we receive Christ in Holy Communion, literally receive him, we take him as food, and the communion between us and him then is total, utter, complete. So that's St. Paul's image. We could spend all night on it, reflecting on it. And it's good to pray about it too. To find the section in St. John and spend time with it. Just read it through and ponder it and think about it. The image that we went on to talk about after that was the image of the body of Christ, which is St. Paul's image. St. Paul says the church is like a body, a human body, where Christ is, as it were, the head of it. Now, cut off from the head, or the head cut off from the body, that's the end of the body. And so it's very much the same as the branch being cut off the vine. And of course, all the direction of the body comes from the head. It's the brain that passes the messages to all our nerves and muscles and things. So Paul is saying this too, this intimate connection, communion between. So again, it's about communion with Christ. So the church is the mystical body, so it's Christ again. What is the church? The church is Christ in the world. And we are, as it were, members of him. And what this image of St. Paul tells us about the church, which the image of the vine doesn't, is that in the body there are all sorts of different members. Thousands, millions of them. In fact, billions of cells in our bodies. And all of them working together to make the different organs and the different muscles, different limbs. And each organ, muscle, limb got its own job to do. And so each one has got its own specific job. And the job it's got to do is to make sure that the whole thing works well. So our eyes are there for the good of our whole body. And you can see how someone who's deprived of sight, his whole life, his whole way of life, his whole livelihood is affected by it, because one particular dimension of his being has been damaged or destroyed. Same with hearing, same with anything. When we lose any particular feature of our bodies, then we experience the detriment of it, because every single thing works for the good of the whole of us. And again, this is bringing out the idea that we're part of the church, and that we've got something to contribute to the church. You know, we're not just kind of passive spectators to this Christ event in the world. We are part of it. We are part of it. We are it. We're getting on with the job. We're getting on with the job of being Christ in the world. And again, this communion with Christ comes through these sacraments that we keep talking about, and which I'll explain to you over the rest of the catechumenate. The other aspect about the body, which is an important one, I spoke about it last time, and I think this is so important that it's good for me to go through it a second time. The other aspect of the body is, remember I talked about jamming your little finger in the door. You know, it might only be your little finger, but if your little finger is squashed, the whole of you is out of sorts, and more than out of sorts, out of action, you know, and in quite a state. And it's just a little finger that's been squashed. And so the whole body is affected by anything done to any member, or any harm coming to any member. And this is the social dimension of sin. And this is one of the reasons why confession is a social thing, whereby you don't just go and say you're sorry to God, you come to the priest and you say you're sorry to God through him. Because when we damage ourselves through sin, and sin, although it may be enjoyable, pleasant, it's always detrimental to ourselves. We demean ourselves, we become less of a Christian. And because we are the body of Christ, then the whole of the body of Christ is affected by my sin. So sin is never private. No matter how private it may be from a human point of view, sin is never private, it's always public. Because it always affects the whole body of Christ. And so when we've sinned, we need to ask God pardon, but we need to ask the body of Christ pardon as well, which is the church. And so Christ has ordained it that when we sin, we'd go to the church and ask him through the church for forgiveness, because we've damaged the church by our sins. Those are the two main images of what the church is. There are other, lots and lots of images of the church in the Gospel. Our Lord talks about the good seed and the poor seed mixed together, the tares. How a farmer sows his field with good seed. And then when the spring comes, he finds that there are weeds all over the place. And his servants say, you know, pull up the weeds. And he said, don't pull up the weeds. If you pull up the weeds, you pull up the wheat as well. Let them both grow side by side until the harvest. Our Lord was talking about the church. Another little aspect of the church there, that the church is not all saints. We should all be saints, but we're not all saints. And growing side by side, there's the wheat and there's the tares. There's the good and the bad and the indifferent. But lots and lots of images. The other one that we dealt with last time was the image of the temple. St. Paul says that we are like the stones that go together to build the temple. Living stones, he says. And you can see how similar that image is to the body of Christ or to the vine. We're all part of this one thing. And this one thing is, if you like, the presence of God. And the presence of God is Christ, the temple. He is the temple. So those are some of the images that we dealt with at greater length last time. Before moving on to the four characteristics of the church. And we're coming now, we've been going through the creed. We dealt with our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ by going through the mysteries of the rosary, which cover the whole of his life, death and resurrection. So we've come back now to where we were in the creed, and we're now discussing, I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Now, those are four adjectives. An adjective, as you know, is a describing word. It describes a noun. And the noun is church, and it's got four adjectives in front of it. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And by understanding the meaning of those four adjectives, we get a very good understanding of what we mean by church, which we've already ascertained is the presence of Christ in the world and ourselves inserted into his presence. Okay? It's a dynamic thing. The church is dynamic because it's Christ achieving salvation with ourselves involved in it. It's sad in a way that we use the word church in two senses, because a church building is a very staid thing and very often a very old-fashioned thing. Maybe very beautiful like ours is, but it's old. And it's, you know, built a century before last. Whereas the church, in the other sense, with a capital C, is now. It's this living thing in the world. It's Christ in the world today. Not yesterday, today. With ourselves involved in him, ourselves united to him, doing the same work that he is about. We are part of him, you know, we are labourers in his harvest, if you like. And so, these four adjectives, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And we did deal with, I'm sure we did deal with one. The church is one, the last time. And there are lots of ways in which the church is one. First of all, if you think about it, the church is one because there are not two churches, are there? When Christ established his church, he didn't establish a Catholic church and an Anglican church and a Methodist church and a Presbyterian church and an Orthodox church. He established the church. There's only one church. And it is, of course, our Catholic faith that that one church exists fully in what we call today the Catholic Church. The Council put it very succinctly in the 60s. It says that the Catholic Church, that the church subsists in the Catholic Church. That by, if you're looking for the church, then you find it in its fullness in the Catholic Church. It subsists in the Catholic Church. Now the other churches, and as I've just mentioned, of course, you know, are plentiful. There are lots of different churches. And the Catholic Church has the greatest respect for these Christians and recognises the working of God in their communities, most certainly, recognises the sincerity of the people who run them, their ministers and leaders, recognise the holiness of life to be found among the Christians in those denominations. But having said that, recognises that each of these churches in their own way are deficient. That in the course of history, for various reasons, political sometimes, religious other times, various reasons, the content, the full content of what the church is, which Christ gave and established when he established the church on Peter, various dimensions, aspects of that church have been lost. For political reasons, historical reasons, religious reasons. In the course of 2,000 years, Christians have broken away from the original church and set up their own group, their own setup. And in doing that, they abandon certain aspects of the original church. They abandoned them. Sometimes they deliberately changed them. And so, while you have all these different churches, you have in them elements of the original church. Some of them have many such elements. And fundamental among those elements, of course, is the sacrament of baptism. Also, the presence of Christ in the scriptures. But many other aspects of the original church have been lost, or abandoned, or rejected. For example, confession. For example, the anointing of the sick. You know, in some churches, confirmation. The sacramentality of marriage. Depending on the church, the deficiencies are greater or less. Some of the churches have abandoned the bishops. They've all abandoned the Pope. And many of them have abandoned the bishops, and many of them have abandoned the priesthood. And in abandoning those, of course, they've abandoned the real meaning of the Eucharist. So, Christ established one church. That's what we mean by saying we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. One church. And the reason why we have many today is because in the course of 2,000 years, for historical, political, religious reasons, groups have broken away and set themselves up as independent churches. And in setting themselves up as independent churches, they either rejected or changed the original church as it stood, and rejected aspects of it. So, for example, the example that comes immediately to mind is Henry VIII. When he established the Church of England in the 16th century, what he left behind initially was the Pope. He abandoned that dimension of the Church, which is an essential dimension of the original Church, which is the papacy, the Vicar of Christ. And that was abandoned. And with it, the authority of Christ in his Church. And, you know, it's happened to all the different denominations as they broke away from the Anglican Church or from the Protestant Church in Germany. So they also left behind various bits and pieces. Until you can get Christian churches now with no priests, no sacraments, left just with the scriptures and hymns. So that's why we have many churches. But at the same time, we can say there's only one church. And the Catholic Church believes, and this is very fundamental to Catholicism, the Church believes utterly and absolutely what the Council says, that this Church which Christ established is to be found in its fullness in the Catholic Church. That what you have in the Catholic Church is everything that Christ put into his Church in the first place. That it has been preserved. And it's a matter of history, you can see that for yourself. You know, even reading secular history, you can see that the Church has stuck to what was originally there and kept to it. no tilting windmills, you know, not changing because, you know, public opinion is changing. Remaining faithful to what the Church has been given. Call it the deposit of faith, what Christ set out to give us. So that's the first meaning of that word, the church is one. There's just one church. Although there are many churches, there is really just one church that Christ founded. The other meaning, there are several meanings of one, is that oneness, unity, is at the very heart of what it's all about. And it stems from the fact that God is one. And because with an artist, the qualities, the abilities that the artist has got show themselves in his work. You can tell the artist by the work he's doing. And so there is an imprint of God all the time. The kind of God that God is shows itself in what he does. And God is three, and yet God is one. We talked at length about the meaning of the Trinity, that revelation. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but God is also just one God, three persons. And so, at the very heart of God, you have community, you have unity and community. You have oneness and you have multiplicity. And it's this oneness that characterises God, which also characterises the Church. The Church is one. And one in the sense that we all belong to Christ. We're all part of Christ. St. Paul says that it's God's purpose, God's secret. St. Paul just often speaks about God making known his secret that's been kept hidden, kept secret for generations, for ages, forever, and now revealed. And that secret of God was what God wants is to make all things one in Christ. That's what St. Paul says. God's purpose is to make all things one in Christ. And that oneness is what the Church is all about. So by belonging to the Church, we become one with God, and therefore one with one another, as the branches are one with the vine, as the limbs and members of a body are one with the body. So we, by belonging to the Church, become one. And it doesn't matter whether we are black or white, or English or French or whatever nationality or culture, that is irrelevant. There is this oneness. And we'll talk about that later because that's what the word Catholic means. But it comes in here because it, It is the church is a unifying principle. And I've often preached on this, that it's only the Catholic Church, because of the very nature of the church, it's only the Catholic Church that can ultimately bring peace and harmony and stability into the world. Because only the Catholic Church can unite everybody with God and with one another. And this is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. This is what we're praying for all the time. That we may be all united in Christ, and therefore in the peace of Christ, in the justice of Christ, in the love of Christ, in the charity of Christ. United together, and therefore at peace with one another. This is God's plan, to bring everybody into communion with Christ. So the oneness, this idea of oneness, of community, is at the very, very heart of what the church means. And we say the church is one. That's what it's doing. It's one because there's only one church, but it's also one because that's what it's about. It is to make one, to unify the peoples together in Christ. And that action of bringing people together, making them one, is achieved through the sacraments, which we're going to start discussing. And particularly through the Eucharist, where we all partake of the same loaf, as St. Paul says. That loaf has become Christ. And so we enter into him, he enters into us, and there is that complete unity. That's why an ancient and very beautiful name for the Mass is, well, not so much for the Mass, but for part of that liturgy, is Holy Communion. It's this communion with Christ that is the end product of what the Mass is all about, bringing us into complete oneness. The Church is one, makes us one with God and with one another. Another aspect, less important but important enough, of one, when we say the Church is one, is the unity, not only an ontological unity, not just unity in our being with Christ, we're all one in Christ, but also one in faith. We're one in faith. And this is true of the Catholic Church and not true of the other churches. And it's true of the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church has remained faithful to the authority set over it by Christ, which is the Pope. And the Pope's principal purpose in life is to keep the Church at one in its faith. That's why, and we'll talk about this later, this is why the Pope has this charism of infallibility. So, the Catholic Church, through the papacy, and it's not just the Pope sitting in his office by himself. He's got huge kind of curial offices, lots and lots of offices of theologians studying everything, making sure that the ancient faith is kept utterly and absolutely intact. And so, to be a Catholic means to believe what other Catholics believe. So, you know, you go to Mass on a Sunday, and what you're expressing there in your attendance at Mass is what a Chinese in one of his underground churches, Catholic churches there, is expressing exactly the same faith. You know, cultures differ. The Chinese are very different. They think differently from us and they express themselves differently. The Africans do, the Indians do. They come to our country and they think that we're all very cold because we all stand up and, you know, just answer instead of bursting out into song and everything. But What we believe and what they believe is the same. It's absolutely the same. And so we enter in being a Catholic, we enter into a community of faith. The same attitude, same understanding of God, same understanding of man, same understanding of life and purpose of life. There is this real unity, community in the church, community of faith. The church is one also in that we worship God in the same way. We can worship God in all sorts of ways. But in the church there is the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is God's doing. Christ established it. And whether it's said in Welsh or it's said in Chinese, it's exactly the same Mass. It's doing exactly the same thing. It's celebrating the same sacrament. And the faithful who are celebrating it believe exactly the same about it. And so there is this unity of worship. And it goes on even in minor details, in the sense that the Mass that we celebrate on a Sunday, the readings that we listen to, the first reading, the Psalm, the second reading, the Gospel, are exactly the same readings as you get in a little village church in the middle of Africa. Exactly the same readings. So that when we go to Mass on a Sunday, we are, all of us, the whole Catholic world, reflecting on the same mysteries, the same aspect of God, whatever the theme of the Mass is. Which is very wonderful. And that's why many people feel that, you know, it doesn't really matter too much about the language. It's the reality that is so important, of unity. And so the church is this united thing. People of every kind of nationality and culture united to Christ, believing the same thing, worshipping God in the same thing, in the same way. And is part of this great progress, which is the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, which is what we're working for. And the kingdom, of course, our Lord speaks about the kingdom time and time again in the Gospels. And what do we mean by the kingdom? The church. That's what the kingdom is. Thy kingdom come. We're praying for the church to prosper in the world, to draw more and more people into it, so that there's this greater unity, that God's plan, God's secret plan, revealed in Christ, will ultimately come true, that we'll all be, you know, united, all brought together in Christ. Okay, we'll leave it there, we'll have a cup of tea, and continue in a few minutes.